Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Wednesday, August 11th, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people and using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it'll take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? That chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great advantage for over 17 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each of us have been gifted. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click it, download it, print it off, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and you'll get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files to shows just like this one where people have been stepped through that process or given powerful testimonials about how the use of these tools improves their lives and relationships. And we hope people do that soon and often because it often raises comments or questions, and then you can give us a call at 563-999-3581 and press 1, and that'll let us know you have a comment or a question or a testimonial, or you can email us at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, or you can email Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org. We're also doing the Course in Miracles workbook lessons this year, and we're on the 223rd day of the year. And today's lesson reads, God is my life, I have no life but His. I was mistaken when I thought I lived apart from the Creator, a separate entity that moved in isolation, unattached, and housed within a body. Now I know my life is the Creator's life. I have no other home. I do not exist apart from the Creator. The Creator has no thoughts that are not part of me, and I have none but those which are part of the Creator. And then it suggests, Our Father, let us see the face of Christ instead of our mistakes. For we who are your holy offspring are without sin. We would look upon our sinlessness, for guilt proclaims that we are not your offspring, and we would not forget you any longer. We are lonely here, and we long for heaven, where we are at home. Today we would return. Our name is yours, and we acknowledge that we are your offspring. We're also doing the Course in Miracles experiment, and those lessons from Pam Grout, as I said, beginning this section, Pam lets us know that many of these following lessons are those that she feels don't fit for her. So she RSOs, she rips those suckers out. So her lesson 223 is simply this, titled, Spoiler Alert, There's Just One Problem. Carlos Castaneda is quoted here as saying, we either make ourselves miserable or we make ourselves happy. The amount of work is the same. Pam writes very briefly, lesson 223, she interprets it as, what was I thinking? This lesson tells me the only problem I could ever have is seeing myself differently from how the Creator sees me. The dude sees me as perfect, funny, loving, gorgeous, free of all problems. P.S., it also sees everyone else that way. And as many of Abraham's teachings tell us, anytime we have upset, tension, fear, anger, frustration, hurt, it's a direct result of us choosing to view ourselves and the world and our brothers and sisters differently than our Creator would see that person. So we're creating the tension, the fear, the anger, and the upset by refusing to see things as they actually are, by creating a perception which is inaccurate. It's impartial. It is partial at best and perhaps completely false. Only partially true at best and perhaps completely false. And I would take time here in the beginning of the call again today to mention what I mentioned probably for the first time yesterday, which is the resource that I just discovered, where you can go, anyone can go, and take a mental health assessment, just a check-in for yourself. How is your mental health going? How's it working out? And the place to do that is just three letters, OML, standing for 1 million lives, OML, .world, W-O-R-L-D. And if you go there, you'll have the option to take a mental health check-in. And once you answer the questions, I would recommend the full check-in. They will ask you some basic questions. It's not personal information about you. It's not your address or your email or anything like that. It's just how old you are, male or female, et cetera. So they're collecting some demographic information. And then when you answer the questions on the full check-in, when you're done, it'll give you a report. It'll give you a summary. It's very similar to the more involved personal code evaluation that Dr. Michael Rice offers through some of his seminars and workshops. And it's shorter, and you don't have to have somebody else score it like Dr. Michael Rice or have them helping you interpret it. It gives you the report right then. And then it has links for resources. If you have an interest in shoring up some of the parts of your own self-reported mental health check-in that might benefit from support. And this is from a major construction company that's global that decided to address, improve, put their money where their mouth was about mental health for their employees. And once they had created this with a psychologist, they asked themselves, well, since we're doing this for our employees, why don't we do it for their friends and families too? And once they got to that point, they said, well, wait a minute, if it's so good, why aren't we offering it, since it's already up and running, why aren't we offering it to our clients? And eventually from there, they said, well, why don't we just open it up to anybody? And so now oml.world is available, and you or anybody else can go there and as often as you'd like and take the free mental health check-in. And just answer the questions as honestly as you can. And it'll, when you're done, it'll show you the areas where you're strong and where you're not so strong and where, you know, you might want to put some extra effort right away. So, free resource. Do yourself and anybody you know a favor. At least introduce them to it. It's well done, it's up and running, and there are, it's what they call open source. It's just free to anybody. So, 563-999-3581. Give us a call and press 1 and let us know how can we support you today. What's on your mind? What's a topic you'd like to have us explore? We had a much shortened support group last night because of the storms knocking out power and internet. And so we'll have another, hopefully, full-length support group on Thursday. And the information about how to join us there is at mindshiftersacademy.org. And that is also free. If you would like to join us, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central, or you know someone who could benefit from it, participation in a group like that, please pass the information along. And I have reached out to the author that was recommended by Ellen, Richard Moss. It took a little digging, but I finally found a website for contacting him that was not Amazon and the Amazon page. And basically the contact form is for somebody who wants to retain their services as a coach or something like that. I forget exactly what it was, but I submitted the application and or the intake form, contact form, and we'll see if we can get a rise out of them and if Dr. Richard Moss will agree to be interviewed. Again, Dr. Moss has several books. One of them is The Mandala of Being, and that's not the the primary book that Ellen was referencing is a different book than that, but you can find him on Amazon and find his books, and as we were talking about yesterday, he's got some very solid ideas about different ways to talk about spirituality. He's a physician who had his own awakening experience after quite a while of working as a physician. And yesterday the conversation was about, you know, his use of the word feeling versus emotions and I find it very useful to tease out some of those differences and get more clear, more and more clear about what are these experiences I'm having and how can I decide when my ego is run amok? How do I determine when my ego is fulfilling its intended purpose in a useful way? And again, the simple answer to that is if I'm feeling calm, if I'm feeling safe, if I'm feeling grateful or compassionate, my ego is probably doing its job well. And if I have any kind of a negative emotion going on, and a recurring negative thought or negative emotion, it's a very good probability, a very high probability that my ego has run amok and that I am focused more on the experience of being right at all costs rather than being asked to be shown how to have a relationship with rightness. And when I have a relationship with rightness, I will be in this state of connection and joy and compassion and gratitude. And when I'm not in connection with rightness, I will have those negative emotional states. I will have the tension, the anger, the fear, the grief, the frustration. So there is a pretty good, if not an infallible, feedback system to let us know when we're headed in the right direction, when we're, you know, running on all cylinders, as some people would say. And yet, our culture doesn't teach us about that system. Our culture does not teach us about the true source of our emotions, useful ways of dealing with our various emotions when they arise from our own internal processing. Our culture teaches us attribute your emotions to things outside of you and then blame or attack or run away from those people or situations when your emotional experience is something that you don't like. And this leaves us trapped. This leaves us in the endless wild goose chase. And the core of this work and many other good spiritual teachings is the opposite of that, to liberate us from that wild goose chase. And from what we were discussing yesterday and what Ellen was reading from Dr. Moss's work, he's gotten some deep insights into that. And so if you're looking for a slightly different way to understand this work and the core principles, there's yet another author. There's the Impersonal Life by Joseph S. Benner. There's the Way of Mastery that you can use as a kinder, gentler version of The Course in Miracles. There's a whole series of books by Pema Chodron. We've talked about a couple of them. You know, we've read them and reviewed them for this podcast. You can go to the MindShiftersAcademy.org website, and there's a separate page listing books we've read and discussed on the MindShifters Radio. And all kinds of people basically observing the same thing, finding slightly different ways to talk about it, to create analogies of it, and all for the purpose of assisting each of us to find our own way, to get more reliable connection and access to our own internal guidance system. So if you have any interest in getting more reliable, consistent access to your own internal guidance system, or if you've discovered another way that's different than what we've been presenting so far, give us a call, 563-999-3581. And when you call that number, press 1, and it'll put a little question mark by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code. And we would be delighted to have a conversation. Especially interested if somebody takes the mental health check-in at oml.world and want to give us your feedback or comments about that. I have a connection to one of the primary people involved in that work, and they would love to have our feedback. So not only is it a thing that you can use to benefit yourself, but you can also have some input into its effectiveness and usability. As I mentioned, it is considerably shorter than the personal code evaluation. And the idea is to highlight and raise awareness for what some of us have been calling for a while mental emotional hygiene, the kind of thing where we daily, if not multiple times a day, practice cleaning up our energy systems, cleaning up our thoughts and emotions, becoming more and more aware of how actively we participate in the creation of our life experience. And then once we've awakened to that, and you know, hopefully, as in the case of the work Michael and Jeannie create and many other people, we've learned some tools that allow us to manage those life experiences, manage those emotions that we generate, manage the energies within us that get resonated, that once they get resonated, drive our behavior, even if we are decades removed from the event. I had a 36-year-old not too long ago that was very, very frustrated with his ability to be consistent in doing the right things in his life. And so in the middle of a conversation, he had a memory about something that happened when he was in high school, his senior year. And as he started talking about it, he started to choke as he cried, and he said, "Wow, that knocks the wind out of me," or "that, you know, almost made me pass out." And so I said, "What almost made you pass out? Just mentioning this event?" And he said, "Yeah, it's just like a wave of emotion that was so strong, literally something that happened," let's just say that, you know, he's 36 now, he's 8, when he's half his age, it happened 18 or 20 years ago. And just in mentioning it, the emotional energy was so strong that he couldn't finish the sentence and felt like he was going to pass out. So we immediately moved into doing an energy work experience around that, which is very, very similar to the worksheet process. Cancel everything that you believe about that. Cancel every goal you had at that time. Cancel every goal that you hold for yourself now. And just ask to be shown what the heck, in terms of thoughts, in terms of beliefs, in terms of energies, did you download into your energy system when you were 18 years old and this event happened? And it was a gold mine of labels, negative labels for himself, ways in which he had unwittingly strengthened or crystallized negative beliefs about himself that began from back in kindergarten. And what he understood by the time the session was over is that that energy and the beliefs from it that happened back, you know, 18 or 20 years ago has literally been a major driving force in his successes and limitations. Simply because every time it would get activated, his conclusion that this is too much would kick in and he would shut down. And by shut down, I mean, as in this case, he literally was on the verge of passing out just from mentioning it. Well, if you understand how the human system works, you understand every human walking has those kinds of energies. You might call them trauma. You might call them negative beliefs. You might call them adverse childhood events, as in the ACE study. Everyone has them. Now, the degree to which they get activated, it varies from one person to another. And the degree to which, when they are activated, they inhibit us functioning effectively as adults also varies from person to person and sometimes from situation to situation. Knowing that this happens and knowing that there are good tools to help us identify and then remove those energies so that we then have more conscious direction over what arises in us and how we respond to it, that's part of why I do this work. That gives me keys to a better life. And when I can share that with others and they're willing to do the work for themselves, it gives them a key to a better life. It still boggles my mind that I'm able at this stage of the game, because of what Michael and Jeannie Rice have done, to offer to people a tool that has this level of intense effectiveness absolutely free. And the catch is, and there's always a catch, right? The catch is people have to be willing to pick up the tool and apply it in their lives. I can't just mention the tool to somebody and have it change their life for the better. I can't send them to the website and have it transform their life. I can't wave the worksheet process at them once I print it out and have it change their life. And yet, it isn't a whole lot more difficult than that if people are willing to put forth what the Way of Mastery would call a smidgen of effort. In the Way of Mastery, it uses the word smidgen related to willingness. And now I'm modifying it a little bit and saying effort. Based on all of the other trainings and techniques and tools that I've learned in 47 years of doing this kind of work, the Reality Management Worksheet is almost ridiculously easy in comparison to most of the others. It's consistently more powerfully effective for me, and it's free. So that's why we're here. That's why we're talking about it, and that's what we're open for discussion about. If you have a situation in your life that's seemingly intractable, or you've got a comment or a question about how the use of the tool in your life is helping you, give us a call, 563-999-3581, and press 1, and we'll have a conversation. I finished recently the book related to how drug companies are lying to us and deceiving us and what to do about it. And while I can recommend the book, I can also acknowledge that most people who don't have a specialty like psychology, that they won't invest in the time in doing that. But it's by Marcia Engel, A-N-G-E-L-L, and the title of the book is The Truth About Drug Companies, and the subtitle has something to do with, you know, how they're lying to us and deceiving us and what we can do about it. And if you got a hold of that book, you could, you know, get a lot out of just reading the last chapter and the afterword. But I don't have that in a in a format that I can read it to you right now. But the idea is, in the afterword, she gives a series of steps that she feels would really take us a long way to modifying, to correcting, to having a much healthier relationship with the drug companies. And as I was talking to somebody recently about the, I guess it's chapter 13, it's how to save the pharmaceutical industry and get our money's worth. And she talks about how, despite all of its successes, this is an important industry that should be saved, but mainly from itself. Well, what that also means hidden in this is saved from itself and the corruption in the industry and the greed, but also the corruption in our government, because basically our government is supporting and creating, passing laws that allow the drug companies to survive on Me Too drugs rather than creating their own drugs and advertise direct to consumers and, you know, compare new drugs to placebo rather than making them demonstrate that they're better than an existing drug. And so there's a whole series of things that she recommends based on each of the chapters that have explained them in detail. So you can get, you know, quite a bit of good information just from chapter 13 of that book and the afterword. So you know, sometimes people are able to get these books used or get them at a library. And she recommends these things in her afterword. Clearly, the pharmaceutical industry and the medical profession need thoroughgoing reform. And our Congress and the Food and Drug Administration need to be reminded that they exist to serve the public, not to serve the drug companies. In the meantime, here's what you can do as an individual to protect your interests. Here are a few specific suggestions. When your doctor prescribes a new drug, ask him or her these questions. Question number one, what is the evidence that this drug is better than an alternative drug or some other approach to treatment? Next question, has the evidence been published in a peer-reviewed medical journal? Or are you relying on information from drug company representatives rather than peer-reviewed medical journal? She suggests that you insist on getting a straight answer to these questions, and if necessary, ask for a reference to a journal article or a medical textbook. Another question to ask is this drug better only because it's given at a higher dose? And would a cheaper drug be as effective if it were given at an equivalent dose, which is another scam that the drug companies run? The few times where they do compare an older drug to a newer drug, they're usually doing them at mixed dosages. And the truth is that most often, the newer drugs are simply copycats of the older drugs, and there's no significant difference in the molecular structure. It was just enough difference to squeak it by the patent office. So she says, clearly, sometimes the best course is to simply increase the dose of an older drug. Remember, there is usually no reason to think that new drugs are better than old ones in our current system because they're not compared to the older drugs, and they're often only created so that the drug company can establish a new patent and have exclusivity rights and charge lots more for the newer drug for a longer period of time. The other factor to consider is that the older a drug is, the better its safety record is likely to be. Sometimes these drugs are on the market for a few years before they find out, oh my gosh, it's causing this or that big problem, or it's having this or that negative interaction with another drug. And then eventually they either correct it or take it off the market, or they start making appropriate warnings to look for complications with other drugs, et cetera. So the longer it's been on the market and it hasn't been recalled and it hasn't been identified as creating lots and lots of other problems, the safer it's likely to be. Another question to ask is, are the benefits worth the side effects, the expense, and the risk of interactions with other drugs I take? This is one that I strongly encourage everyone to ask your doctor. And really make sure that he or she is listening to you and knows every other drug you're on and takes the time to look up the potential negative interactions with other drugs. I remember one time I sat with in a business networking group, and a chiropractor brought in some case files, and he said, it's almost unheard of that someone comes into his office with a headache as their primary complaint. You know, adjust my back and neck, doc. I've got these bad headaches. He says it's almost unheard of that the people who have that complaint don't have a list. Most of them have a list of medications they're taking. And when the doctor, the chiropractor, pulls up the list of side effects from this list of 5 or 6 or 8 medications people are taking, most of the medications they're taking list as a potential side effect headaches. So, you know, oh, the tangled web we weave when first we practice to eat these drugs. I know it doesn't rhyme, but you get the effect. The next question to ask is this a free sample? And if so, is there a generic drug or an equivalent drug I can take that is cheaper whenever the free sample runs out? Why would you need to ask that question? Because drug companies spend billions of dollars in giving doctors free samples, and many of them are of me too drugs, meaning it's the same old drug that's run out of a patent with some slight change in it and been renamed, so now they can get a new patent, and now they've got exclusivity for X number of years, and now they can charge a boatload of money for it. But again, it hasn't been tested against the older drug to demonstrate it's better than, and most often, it's almost exactly the same molecular structure. So the free samples are a false economy. They're just designed to get you and your doctor hooked on the newest and most expensive drugs. And then here's a question that many people will not be assertive enough to ask. And many people will have a challenge asking this question, either because of their intimidation factor or because they actually feel like they have a personal relationship with their doctor. But the question is simply this: doctor, do you have any financial ties with the company that makes this drug? For example, do you consult for the company? Other than free drug samples, do you receive gifts from drug companies? Are you being paid to put me on this drug and then enroll me in a drug company study? Do you, doctor, make time for visits from drug company representatives? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, she recommends that you consider changing your doctor. You need to know, or she recommends that you might want to know, that your doctor's decisions are based solely on what's best for you and not what's best for the drug company's bottom line. So, the other last piece of advice here is about checking about your representatives for Congress and making sure that they are not taking contributions from the drug companies. And last but not least, pay no attention to any direct-to-consumer ad, whether it's in a magazine or a television or radio. Because the only thing about those ads is to get them to be able to charge you more for taking those drugs. It's not about education. It's not about your benefit boosting their sales. So that's my offering for today. We have 17 minutes left. 563-999-3581. Call that number and press 1, and we can have a conversation right after we're done talking to Ellen.
Hi, Dr. Tim.
Hello.
Hi. Accordance with what you were just talking about, I have a question. And I'm someone who, like, I'm fortunate that haven't ever had to be really on any drugs for any reason. But I did just have surgery a couple weeks ago, and they prescribed me a pain medicine. And, and as soon as, I got home and started to feel the pain, I was like, okay, I got to go. You know, I was thankful that I had this prescription, and I went and I got it filled, and I took one, and I had a horrible, horrible reaction. I mean, I went through the ringer. And so I guess my question is, I let them know what happened to me, and I asked them to please put it on my record with the hospital to never, ever, ever prescribe that drug for me again. But I feel like I need to do more, because if I had that sort of reaction, I mean, it put me in a really bad place. And from what I understand, I was almost in hypothermia, which I don't even know what that really does to you, but that kind of scared me. And I'm thinking, if that happened to me, I'm sure it can happen to other people. And I just feel like I need, because, and then I talked to a psychologist friend of mine, and she said, oh, that's a very common drug that they're prescribing these days. I had never heard of it before. It's called Tramadol. I forget what the other name for it is. And they also had told me that, oh, well, this is like one of the more mild forms of pain medicine that they will, give someone. So, in other words, like, there must be something wrong. The way I took that was, well, there must be something wrong with me that I reacted that way to it. But I know that that's not the case. I do not believe that. And so I'm concerned that this is a drug that they're just giving out to people without any sort of warning. And being, a pain medicine, I mean, that's a pretty common thing that gets prescribed to people. And I don't want anyone to go through what I went through. And
well,
so I'm just wondering.
There's nothing you can do to prevent that. And I'm sure that, what will happen, since it's been approved by the FDA, is that when you bring that up, they'll say, well, you just had an allergic reaction. And they can't ever predict, unless you have a history with similar medications, they can't predict when people might have a bad reaction to a medication where it's just their body chemistry responding to this medication, because lots and lots of other people have not had a similar experience.
Right.
So the best thing you can do is make sure that you tell everybody who's treating you, you have an allergy to this medication.
Right.
And then you can, you know, do what you're doing now. You call the internet show and tell people, tell everybody you know. But Tramadol is a medication they use for moderate to severe pain in adults. It's been approved by the Food and Drug Administration, and so it's going to be out there, which
okay.
is, you know, just another good reason for people to say, buyer beware. And, you know, with any kind of pain medication these days, what we know is there is so much of a problem with these things being prescribed basically wholesale, that we should all be very, very careful. Whenever anybody gives us something for pain, we should ask, is this addictive? Is this an opioid? Is there something less intense I can take? Right? Is there something, another way to treat this pain other than just taking a drug? It's all those things that I just read from the book. And, you know, Tramadol is listed as something that's similar to an opioid. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means it affects your central nervous system and it's extraordinarily powerful. So, you know, you want to make sure that if you take something like that after a surgery or a procedure, that you're not taking anything else that might conflict with it. That's another thing that, you know, sometimes there are these, I remember they had an atypical antidepressant that was called the monoamine oxidase inhibitors, MAOIs. And the reason they called them atypical antidepressants was because they had some special warnings that they should give people, and they had a knowledge that different food groups might create bad reactions if people were taking this medication. And so it got to be a bother for the doctors and the pharmacies to tell people, okay, your doctor wants you to take this antidepressant, but now you better not have any red wine, you better not eat any nuts, you better stay away from this kind of mushrooms, you better not eat any aged cheese or whatever it was, this list of foods that might cause a bad reaction with it. And so what they did was they started prescribing them only if the other antidepressants that didn't have all those food contraindications weren't working.
Mm-hmm.
But there are medications, and for you, Tramadol might be one of them, that, you know, is going to have a conflict with something that you eat on a regular basis, and they don't know that. It's like there's an allergy. There's an atypical reaction, and we can only hope that the reaction you had was atypical. We can't
right.
be certain
well,
of
I
it.
If it could have been,
but we can hope.
I was still feeling the effects of the anesthesia, and I'm wondering if that, you know, coupled with the Tramadol could have been part of the problem. I don't know. I have no idea. All
yeah,
I know is I started to feel
it's a very complicated web.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, good, I have a prescription to take care of this, and little did I know.
Little did I know, it almost took care of you in a whole different way, yeah.
Yeah, and there I was, like, in this, and the pain wasn't even going, the original pain. It took, like, 4 hours for that original pain to even go away, and meanwhile, I'm suffering much worse than that original pain.
Yeah, yeah, and for all you know, the original pain might have gone away on its own after 4 hours without the Tramadol.
Right, exactly. I mean, I never would have taken it if I had any inkling that I could have any sort of bad. It just didn't even occur to me, honestly. And so I just thought, is there anything I can do, you know? But I guess, like you said, no, just let people know that.
Yeah, the best advice I would have for you if that happened to me is I would make sure that every doctor that treated me was alerted to the fact that, as far as I'm concerned, I'm allergic to that medication.
Right.
Well,
and
I'm not worried about
anymore. And once that happens, anybody who's really good at what they're doing will assume that I'm also allergic to any medication in that family of medications.
Right. Because I've been on other pain medicines in my life before and never, ever had any sort of a bad reaction to any of them. But they were ones that, you know the name of, you know, like that they are like opioids, I guess, and that I'm familiar with the names of. I had never heard of this, and it was the first time I ever did have a bad reaction. So, okay. Yeah, I'm not concerned about myself anymore because I will definitely let, you know, every doctor that treats me know about that. But just worried, you know, someone else is going to end up the same way I was, just not suspecting. And go through what I went
through. That's a possibility, especially with the way our system is now. That's why I personally tell people, buyer beware. Be very careful as you're consuming what is called in this culture healthcare, which Michael Rice says over and over again, it's just disease care. It's not healthcare. So
there's no website out there anywhere that you can report things like this about reactions to drugs?
Well, there might be. You know, Google it and find out.
Okay.
There are more and more people as consumers that are getting, they're taking the initiative and they're doing what they can to spread the news. So there might be some where you can report that, and they're not likely to be government run, but they might be consumer run.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Anything else?
No, that was it.
Okay. Let me know if you decide to go to oml.world and take their mental health check-in and what you think about it.
Okay.
It's free and no strings attached, and we're looking for people to give it an experience and then give us a report. How'd they like it? So far, according to the authors, they've had no negative experiences.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm almost like when I hear about something like that, I think, oh, well, what if it tells me that there's something wrong with me that I wasn't aware of?
Well, just to get reassured here, this is not about identifying a disease.
Right.
This is a mental health check-in, right? This is about, hey, am I spending too much time on social media and it's negatively affecting my mood and I didn't really realize it until I answer a series of questions like this? It's that kind of thing. It's about, you know, your sleep habits. It's about your social media habits. It's about relationships. It's not about... do you have cancer of the brain, right? It's nothing like that. It's not a high-tech, it's a mental health check-in.
I knew it was about mental health, but I in some ways think that my mental state may not be considered normal, but in my mind, that's not necessarily a bad thing. And I don't want to get something in my mind that tells me, oh, this isn't good.
Well, having taken it myself, I don't think there is anything in this that would do that.
Okay.
This is just asking you about how you feel about different aspects of your life. It's not, there is no judgment in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not asking you, have you read a Matt Kahn book? And if so, that means you're crazy. you get 1 point for being too woo-woo because you read a Matt Kahn book. It's not like that. And I don't want to put any pressure on you. I mean, feel free to just skip the whole thing if there's any part of you that's going to generate anxiety about it.
Yeah.
But if you're going to generate anxiety about it, we have a worksheet you can do and get rid of that anxiety.
That's so funny.
It isn't funny. It's just the truth. And you don't need to go... And you don't need to go do the mental health check-in, and you could still choose to use a worksheet and get rid of that anxiety because it's not coming from the oml.world website.
Exactly. That's, yeah. So in that way, it could be seen as another tool.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's like Michael Rice going to see movies. Michael and Jeannie go to see movies because they find it's easier to have the flashing lights on the screen and the sounds trigger them and give them worksheets to do than wait until they get triggered in real life. So
yeah,
you could use your response to my suggestion about the oml.world as something that, that triggered me, so I guess I'll go do a worksheet. And that's not so you can go do the oml.world check-in, just so you get rid of the anxiety, even if you never take a look at that mental health check-in.
Right.
Because the root of this work is it's all an inside job.
Exactly.
So, you've taken us to the end of our hour. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the comment or question there near the end, and I will mute you so you can listen in for the rest of the hour. Michael and Jeannie apparently are back. I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. What was that website again that you were suggesting to go to?
OML.
OML.
Three letters. OML stands for 1 million lives. .world. .world. WORLD.
Okay.
It's
good.
Just a page that offers people a chance to take a free mental health check-in, and if you do the long version, as soon as you're done, it gives you a printout of these categories where you might want to put some of your efforts for correction or strengthening or whatever.
Awesome.
I told people it's like a shorter version of the personal code evaluation that's offered by this company to their employees. And then they said, well, wait a minute, why don't we do it to friends and family of our employees? And they said, well, why don't we do it for our clients as well? And then they said, well, since we've done that, why don't we open it up to everybody?
That's awesome. Awesome.
And the 1 million lives is a reference to the idea that some statistics estimate that 1 million people a year take their own life. And if we can help raise awareness about mental health issues proactively, maybe we can make an impact on those 1 million lives.
That's awesome. Okay, great. I will definitely check that out.
All right. Have a great show.
Thank you. And thanks for covering yesterday.
You're entirely welcome and deserving.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Wednesday, August the 11th, 2021. And their call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. Yesterday we had the day planned with Aria and had an outing planned. And on either side of the radio show was not going to allow time for us to get it all done. So we played a replay of a show that was done back in 2015. And it was with Gail, who she's, pardon?
I say, and we played.
Yes, we did. And so we hope you enjoyed that. It was Gail discussing the 12-step program and this work and how it goes together. And we did practically a whole year, I think, with her on that for Wednesdays and Recovery Wednesdays, I think is what we called it. It's been some time ago. But anyway, yes, we had a good time with Aria. There's a place about 30 minutes from here where they had started building a roadway, and they ran into dinosaur bones. So they had to change the way that they took the road, and they set up a museum where you can go and look at the dinosaur bones. And so we took her, since she's so interested in that right now, and spent the day and went to lunch with her. And it was a good full day. So we appreciate you giving us the time off. And welcome, Michael. I hear you talking, but not through the microphone.
Mute challenge. There we go. Got to hit that mute button each time. So anyway, once again, welcome. Glad that you're here to be part of the conversation. And, yeah, we had an awesome day yesterday with Aria Rain. It's interesting. She's 35 months now, and it's fun to just watch how she's walking into the world of attraction and interest. You know, we've shared with you how she's now doing anatomy and physiology pretty much every day of her own volition. And she started a geography program that she's now has led her to animals of the world. We found a program that there are stars on a map of the world, or pardon me, not an app, but a globe. I had shared a week or so ago that one of the things we wanted to do is teach her right from the beginning the difference between reality and actuality, and that a lot of what humans live in is a fantasy world that can be useful and functional but isn't true, except that we've agreed to act as though it is true. So, you know, we have one of the things we picked up at Heartland is way back, oh, 30 years ago, I was in India. And they had these beautiful globes. They were deep blue oceans that were a particular type of precious stone. And then all of the countries, you know, had the names on them, but were different precious stones. It was a really cool globe. And we brought that back. And Aria just got into it and loved it. And we went through all the countries. But we explained to her that the truth is there are no countries. You know, that's a fantasy we made up that we all agree to. But, you know, the robin doesn't go get its passport to cross the line between the United States and Canada, because there is no line between the United States and Canada, or Mexico and the United States, or anywhere else in the world. That it's all a fantasy. So we went looking for a globe that didn't have any countries on it. So we found one, and it's just a map of the globe, you know, at least as ostensibly as it is, although the common globe of the world is so far out of proportion that it's interesting. If you look at the shape of the world as it really is compared to what most globes show us, which is way, way, way out of harmony with actuality. In any event, it was fun to show that to her, and it did have pictures of different animals that were dominant in different parts of the world, and came with a program that you can point at the globe with no lines for countries, but just the globe, and look at the animals and go through, and the animals talk to you and tell you about themselves and where they live and what they do. And so just kind of cool. And so she's picked up on geography, and now she wants to know about dinosaurs. It's I'm so glad that I had an introduction many, many years ago to the school culture, the educational culture of Montessori, where the child isn't forced to be in a certain place at a certain time. You know, every six-year-old needs to know their ABCs. Well, Aria's known her ABCs for a while, didn't have to wait till she was six, and somebody else might not know them until they're 10, and that's okay, because their brain isn't ready for that. So in Montessori education, you observe a child, and where they want to lead you, you go, and you provide them with an environment. So part of our outing yesterday was to provide her an environment where she could learn about dinosaurs, which she's just, you know, developed this great interest in and wants to have a very big mouth and very big teeth to be a dinosaur before she becomes a doctor, which she already knows or thinks that she wants to move in the direction of. So anyway, it was a fun day with her at the Dinosaur Museum, where they have a hands-on science setup and an actual dig, which is kind of interesting that we've got dinosaur bones just a few miles from home here. And so, of course, it gives us a chance to be in deeper communication and connection with her, which is just such a blessing, such an honor. And beyond that, of course, we get to talk to her about canceling goals and forgiveness and who she is. You know, our standard line is either Jeannie and I or I will ask the other, well, why are we here? And our answer is to be love. And we started her on a little mantra, that the mantra like the now I know my ABCs. Well, the same kind of mantra, but the mantra is I am a being of love. And only love can come to me. Only love can be where I am. Instead of the culture's, well, you're a brat, you're bad, you're whatever the world tells its children, and its children end up being so creative, producing self-fulfilling prophecy. And so keeping our messages clean and clear with her 100% is an interesting process. Because, of course, she still does things that violate goals that we have. And it's always an opportunity for us to learn forgiveness, to be with her. So it is a sweet opportunity. And if you have children, grandchildren, we're here to hold the space and be the support for bringing truly human children into the world, children who know who they are as love and whatever goes on in the world functions as love. So, pretty sweet opportunity. And we are just delighted to have the opportunity to be with this work with each and every one of you, and appreciate the fact that your ears are here listening as we continue to develop this body of work and expand it on a global scale so that ultimately it becomes literally available to 7.5 billion people. So the ongoing development, new projects, you know, Jeannie just took the app to a new level so that it's another level of being able to take it out there and make it available in the world. And we've got several other projects on go. So glad you're here to be part of the process. And we are on page 98 of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And reading just a couple of paragraphs. And we've been talking with Richard, and we completed with the thought. You know, Richard, so we're looking at the violences that families and the culture do to themselves and to each other, you know. The person who says, oh, man, I was really stupid when I did that, has just done violence to themselves. Now, most people don't think that that is violence. They go, well, that's normal. I was stupid. I really was stupid. It's like, excuse me. There's no such thing as stupid in a human being. That's another one of those fantasies we've made up. If somebody doesn't have knowledge of what's in front of them, they don't have knowledge of what's in front of them. That doesn't make them stupid. If they have to go over it 10, 20, 50, 80, 100, 200, 500, 1,000 times, and somebody else gets it the first time, one person was in a learning position to get it the first time, one wasn't ready for that learning. But we made up this whole game called stupid, which oftentimes has passed from generation to generation to generation. And the violence that goes with it. It was kind of a shocking scene. We've been watching a film series with Jeannie's dad in the evenings on, Outer Island, Outer Banks. And there's a kid who got himself in trouble protecting another friend and ended up in jail, you know, 17-year-old. It was kind of a shocking scene when the father bailed the kid out and got him back in the car and all of a sudden the camera moves to the other side of the car, and you see the splatter of blood on the passenger's window after the father turns around and attacks the son. It's like, you know, it's like our culture almost puts that forward as something normal. And sadly, in many circles, that kind of viciousness, whether with mouth or fists or just thoughts, has become the norm. And no one, none of us deserves that. Never did, never will. But the unresolved generational dynamics, a thousand generations of rage and fear and sadness and violence and war, grief, have allowed these little violences that we do to ourselves and to each other to seem to be the norm. And our offering is, we're here to support you if you've ever engaged in any of that, or if you are currently engaging in any of that, if you're currently engaging in teaching any of that to your children, that you learn to apply forgiveness there and remove those dynamics from your mind. Remove those dynamics from the world. And we look at the violence that's being done, just, you know, the verbal violence, and how the verbal violence that's going on in our culture has been followed by physical violence. And, you know, you rarely find physical violence where there is not verbal violence. And I can remember a certain politician when he announced his running for high political office in America. It was a shock to me to think that anybody could possibly support a mind with such verbal violence as that one. It's like, oh my God, that verbiage, that mind structured like that becomes a leader in our country. How bizarre is that? And yet, you know, it's happening. It's been happening for centuries, and it's happened all over the world. Well, we're a voice speaking up for it's time for change. So we're talking to Richard about that change, and it's a change that all of us need to make. So Richard just said to me as I finished the reading yesterday, where have I been all my life? He fumbled for words. I never thought about how previous generations or the media impact us. It never occurred to me that the world could be any different. I've never conceived that my hostility supports and contributes to the dynamic of violence in the world. I reply, don't look around, Richard. You're not alone. These little violences rarely strike the sensibilities of anyone who's been trained to think of these forms of insult or assault to human integrity as funny and acceptable. You know, I can remember being a kid and, you know, it was a high praise if you could come up with the sharpest sarcastic comment and do it the fastest. I had uncles that, you know, I can remember them well, and they'd have never talked to each other if they didn't have sarcasm to use between them. Cutting words, vicious words, oftentimes spoken in humor, but still a level of viciousness behind them that is not thought of as assault. And so we'll go on with Richard. From within the monumental violence of the way our world works, little violences are seen as meaningless. I believe they are the tributaries that join to produce the destructive river of violence so prevalent in our world culture. In my experience, the reason for monumental violence is that many learn violence from conception, violence in thought, word, and action. Its harmful nature in the family has, to a great degree, been ignored, though it is the beginning point of all conflict, divorce, murder, and war. It's interesting how many people think that just, you know, hitting a child is no big deal. You don't spare the rod, spoil the child. Excuse me. back in the scriptures, and the rod was a thing that held you up and supported you. It wasn't something you beat a kid with. But if we have people who have verbal, mental, emotional, physical violence in their family structures, it will seem that that violence is what the rod is about, and we should be doing it. Children and adults are so confused as to what is reasonable, they often do not know when they are abusing others, being abused or abusing themselves. The end of this insanity on our planet begins when each of us acquires and uses the tools to heal the violence we do to ourselves and others. Peace is not an objective. It is the pathway to sanity and healing. And the key thought that goes with this chapter is the tools used to produce a result always produce a result like the tools. So healing will not come from violence. People say, well, yeah, but I hit my kid yesterday and they stopped doing that terrible thing. Therefore, see, things are better. No, no, no. Don't kid yourself. You just added assault to injury, and that injury is going to grow, and that injury is going to become something much, much, much more traumatic in the future, unless you can stop and forgive it. And you know, the lessons in forgiveness can start very, very early. Ari Lorraine is 35 months. She already knows what forgiveness is. I don't think she could sit down and do a dissertation on it at this point, but she knows that if she has a goal and there's upset moving in her as a result of that goal, that, you know, she's aware that there are 100 things she enjoys doing, and she could be turning her attention to those things rather than being in disturbance or upset about what it is that she wants at the moment. And she's learning that canceling a goal gives her the option to go to those other things. And then when she cancels a goal and breathes, she lets go of the energy of that internally produced hostility or fear. Oh, to have had this understanding 35 months. How different would life have been? So we're here to make it available to even those little ones. And again, to realize that the tools used to produce a result always produce a result, just like the tool. And so that's our Why Is This Happening to Me Again lesson for today. And if you're out there in listener land, our greatest delight is to be able to support you. So if you're in our listening audience and this has triggered anything for you, if there's a discussion to be had, a clarification to be had, an objection, we'd love to hear it. If you're on one of those stations where we can't see you in our control panel, our call-in number is 563-999-3581, 563-999-3581. If you dial that number, you'll be listening to the show on your phone. Then if you have a question, all you need to do is push one, and you and I and Janie will be having a conversation. If you call into the show from an hour earlier than this one, you'll be having a conversation with Dr. Tim when you do that. And so, Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody in the chat room with a thought for us or anything happening in the phone queue?
No. Bob's in the chat room with me. He says, hurt people, hurt people.
That's
so
it.
True.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nobody has a hand up. Maybe tell them about what we're thinking about the Mind Shifters and Still Point.
Oh, yeah. We just came up with a thought this morning. A friend of ours did an interview on a movie that was created, or as part of a program that was created, and he talked about the Still Point breathing. And we've only done the Still Point breathing as an online workshop in our intensives so far. We haven't actually done a standalone Mind Shifters and Still Point breathing workshop. Actually, it's been aside from the intensives online, it's probably been 3 years, isn't it, sweetie?
You did one in February of 2020 at Abingdon.
Right. But in terms of a public, just mind shifters and still point breathing, it's been
quite a while.
Maybe 4 years.
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah. So anyway, if you're interested in doing that, it's going to be next Friday night at 7 until about 9:30 or so. It might stretch a little longer. Next Friday evening.
Eastern
time. Pardon me?
P.M. Eastern time.
Eastern time, yes. And I don't have a calendar in front of me for the date next Friday. And then Saturday morning, we're going to start at 10 o'clock and go through till sometime between 5 and 6 for the completion of the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. So if anybody's interested in doing that, if you have my number or Jeannie's number, you could drop us a note or call us, and we'll set up registration. And we haven't created a flyer yet. We just decided to do this just 10 minutes before the show today. So a week from this Friday, which is...
That's actually Aria's birthday weekend, but let's see. Hmm. So that's Friday the 20th and Saturday the 21st.
Saturday the 21st. So if you're interested in being a part of that, you can let us know, or you could drop Jeannie an email if you don't have our number. You can drop Jeannie an email at jeannie@whyagain.org and let her know you're interested, and include your name and phone number, and I'll get back to you, and we'll get registration set up. The cost for the weekend will be $125, and we'll step in and do some deep process work. You know, if you've been in any of the workshops we normally do when we travel, you'll remember that 95% of our travel workshops are done free. At the end of each workshop, we let people know the reason they're free is we're committed to make it available whether you have money or not. And if you got something that you appreciate and would like to support, then we invite people to do a donation. But what we found is when you move into deeper processing work, when you're confronting people and asking to look at what's moving in them, if they're not invested and stuff starts to move and they're confronted with what's moving, they'll tend to just quit. They'll turn tail and run. So whenever I do an intensive, whenever I do a mind shifter and still point breathing workshop, there's always a fee attached to that, because we found out that otherwise it just doesn't work. So if you're interested in joining us, we'd be delighted to have you as part of that. And, we're also going to, if you were part of the last two online codependence to interdependence intensives, we'd like to invite you as a guest to that Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop. So that's what we're going to be doing on the 20th and 21st. Am I correct on those dates again, Jeannie?
Yes.
Cool. And it'll be fun because we can do it with people all over the world. The last intensive where we did the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshops, we had a young lady from Thailand. We had Peter from Sweden. We had, just about every corner of the United States, Hawaii. It's a powerful time.
And it will be done by Zoom and videoed. And so we'll have to get approval from everyone to be videoed. And then that will be available to everyone to relook at again and again.
You know, that's a piece we really didn't talk about, Jeannie. And before we make that commitment, let's have a conversation about that. I'm not sure that... I want to do that with a Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop.
Okay.
So, the Mind Shifters, we can certainly do. We'll make that available. But when we get into the kind of process work that happens in a Still Point Breathing session, we might not want to do that, video that, and make it available as a video. So we'll have some conversation with that. And if you're going to be part of it and you have any feedback, we'd certainly appreciate your feedback on it. And, you know, maybe you've done some mind shifters and still point breathing work with us over the years. And if you have, maybe you want to call in and share your experience of it. It's a most profound tool. Actually, one of the things that inspired me to go ahead and do it is the gentleman who did this interview for a movie series or a series of videos that was done as a physician, and his first experience of really being connected to love came about 25 years earlier in a Mind Shifters and Soul Point reading workshop when he first started doing this work. And he shared that with the audience as he was doing this interview. And interestingly enough, he's a very close friend. And about 2.5 weeks ago, he got COVID and was really sick, like to the extreme. We were concerned that he wasn't going to live through it. And a couple days ago, he called me, and like he had been in hell. I mean, there was a period of about 6 days where I'm begging him, send me a smoke signal, let me know you're alive. I was concerned, literally, because in the first days of it, he was so sick that it's like, geez, I hope you're going to be okay. Young man, early 50s. In any event, for a period of about 6 days, he shared with us when he did finally communicate, he didn't have the strength to pick up his phone and send a text. And when we did talk, he had a lot of lung issues and very weak. And he was in the space of, you know, I suggested doing some still point work. And he's like, I don't even have enough energy to do that. I said, well, actually, it doesn't need to take a lot of energy. You can do still point with an absolute, total, minimal amount of effort and energy by just using small, short breaths. And 36 hours later, he called us, chipper, rock and roll, I'm back at work. Whoa. What happened? Well, he did some still point work. And in that, he had some guidance that he needed to do some thyroid support. When he did those things, like 36 hours later, he was back to work. From close to death, he said, you know, in our conversation the other morning, he's like, I really had to face my mortality and thinking I might die. And when I spoke to him, he was in great weakness, not enough energy to really breathe very much, but I invited him to do that, and total turnaround. I'm remembering that in Aramaic, the reason why the still point breath is so powerful is in Aramaic, when you read the words of the New Testament that talk about God sending out his spirit as though there's some mystical disembodied spirit being involved, in Aramaic, that's not what it says. What it says is the Creator sent out its breath. And it's our direct connection. And when people are in pain or trauma, they cut themselves off from the breath. That's why as you hear me processing with people, when we're hitting a tender spot with folks, you'll 99% of the time hear me ask the question, are you breathing? And about 99.999% of the time when I ask that question, people say no, because they've cut themselves off from their power supply and their flow. What the still point breathing does is it reconnects you to that and puts you into deep contact with and process with this feminine elemental force. You know, the Aramaic, what it says is the Creator sent out Ruka Tekutcha. And those words don't speak about a disembodied spirit being, but rather they speak about a feminine elemental force in us that undoes the effects of our errors and teaches us the truth. So when this gentleman did some still point breathing, all of a sudden the state of exhaustion changed to a state of energy, and he was guided as to exactly what he needed to do. I need to do some thyroid support. And he was back to work in 36 hours. So all of that is what had me thinking, well, maybe it's time for us to do a standalone Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing work online. It would be the first time that we've done it, aside from doing it within the context of the online intensives we've been doing. So we'll be doing it on Zoom. If you decide to register, we'll send out a link to you. You'll just need to click that link. We'll be putting together some instructions for how to position your camera and such so that we'll be able to most effectively support you. And all things rock and roll, 20th and 21st.
We have a hand up.
Great. Let's say hello.
I believe it's Angie, area code 517. You're on the air.
Hi.
Well, hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. I put my hand up because there was a lot firing for me in the introductory communication about the ABCs,
right,
and the stupid piece. And my heart is like really quickening.
I hear you. I'm with you. I know exactly how that feels. That was one of my father's favorite phrases toward me.
My piece with it, I did a little bit of work, but so with my dad, I know it's also really woven into that. And I'm like seeing the dual, so there's a duality in it for me too. What resonated when you're sharing about the ABCs and like that indoctrination, that program being installed in me. And I remember in my first, what got called, problem, where I was hospitalized and forced into a medicalization process and, being, you know, locked out away from my family, my young child. I'm going to take another breath.
Breathing with you. Hold the space for you to open all of that energy and free yourself of it right here and now. Turn it over to Ruka.
Hi. I have a support person here in my my near proximity. Yeah. I can remember saying to my parents, there's so much love. The truth is so radically different, and all I have is the English language. I couldn't possibly put what I'm experiencing, what I know to be true now, into words to relate it to you. And my mom, it's tears coming down her face because there was something wrong with me. Not because there was something wrong with me, because of what was resonating in her and her belief structures.
Yeah.
And
so much projection in the world.
So intense. It was really intense for a long time. In the context of your communication, I remembered, and I've looked at this piece a little bit, and I know it's connected to a projection from my dad around the stupid piece. I never remember my dad calling me names ever. That I'm at least aware of right now. But there's a whole ball of wool up for me around that relationship right now. So the piece for me is seeing, okay.
Happening.
Sorrow. I feel sorrow, like despair and sorrow. And what's happening in the world, or at least in my reality structure. I'm not sure where it's hard for me to even go to the piece with my dad. What I am inclined to do, and it might just be.
Yeah, you don't need to intellectually go there. You don't need to know. All you need to do is allow yourself to touch into, breathe into, and process the energy. And that may lead to intellectual awareness, and it may not. And it's not required. Cognitive awareness is not necessary to process through the energy.
Just
noticing where your breath is inhibited, and that's where to breathe, and it will resolve that energy.
There's this slipping energetically in between, and not necessarily in this moment, but the last couple of days, between a sense of helplessness, shock, and rage.
So remember that rage is a drug. Do you use that drug anymore?
No. Well,
good for you.
No.
Okay, well, not when you can help with it. Is that what I hear?
I am doing my very best, and I think I'm good at it. There's a lot of rage that I'm aware of, like next level. It's coming up in me,
yeah.
And so I'm doing the best I can of catching it and
good.
So you're using my tools.
Falling prey to it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And that's actually what I was going to lead with, was remembering a memory that I had with JC when he was, oh God.
Go for it. Just soften. Notice where your body wants to tighten and just gently breathe into it. So what happened with JC?
He's about the age of this beautiful being radiating love in front of me right now. And I was attempting to, my throat is dry all of a sudden, lumpy.
Yep. Good catch.
I was attempting.
Notice your body wants to shut this down. And so your job right now is to open it. And one of the ways to open it, to help yourself to open it, is to just take either your left or your right hand and place it on the opposite side of your head, just above your ear, and breathe. And just let go of the need to say anything at this point. Just breathe and just pull your head over toward your shoulder on the side of the hand that you use. So if you've got your right hand on the left side of your head, pull your head over toward your shoulder and allow your eyes to look up fully to the left as though you're trying to look through the top of your skull. And breathe big breaths like you're blowing your whole body up into a bubble. You know, your belly, your pelvis, your back, your chest. Just keep your eyes looking way up to the left, pulling your head down gently toward your shoulder. And breathe into that. Breathe in with you.
Hi.
You got a little helper there holding the space. That's awesome. And then using the other hand.
We communicate on that nonverbal level.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Nice support. So using the other hand, above the opposite ear, pull your head gently toward your shoulder. It's comfortable. And once
I can feel how crooked. I'm like...
Okay. And just breathe into that and notice where the tightness is that makes it crooked. And breathe right into that tissue and soften it. Open your eyes up as though they're trying to look up through the top of your skull, all the way up to that opposite side, and breathe. Again, blowing your body up like a bubble. Feel your breath go all the way down into your belly, into your hips. Feel that with your breath, your hips even open, your belly, your chest. Your eyes are pointed up. And moves from the place of survival to the place of thrival. You're designed to thrive.
Yes.
Just like that little one in front of you, designed to be connected to love and to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's safe to open your breath and process whatever is beneath it. Whatever the generational or personal assaults and insults are, you can just open to that energy and breathe it through, and Ruka will handle it. People sometimes say I sound like Darth Vader on the radio. I purposely focus on the breath. And it's an invitation to focus on yours and let it open. So what's happening?
There's a part of me that is like, and it's been like this since for a while, it's really hard for me to open the breath, even alone or even with other people. I think Tyler's been about the easiest I've really let myself relax, but it is shifting, and I'm going to sit down, but I can feel that part of me that's like, don't, you'll pass out, and I can't do that right now.
Okay.
So I'll take this with me home, and
yeah.
So
maybe ask Tyler to take you through a still point session.
I have. Maybe this is the whole piece. Can get up there. Here, my hand. I experience being rejected a lot, especially by men.
Mm-hmm.
And my needs, it's like my needs are not valuable. And I know that I'm the only one that they really need to matter to, but.
Yeah, so I thought before you changing that thought about your needs not being valuable and realizing that your needs are extremely important. And if not to someone else, that's okay. They are to you. And you need to remember that it needs to be your priority, not someone else's perception of your needs. And perhaps wanting to put their needs first.
Yes. Yeah, it's a thing. Was a thing.
Say it again.
That was a thing. That was a pattern.
Remember the file folder effect? Remember that we tend, when two files fire in the mind at the same time.
No, they're all.
We tend to
they're
link
going.
Those files. And in relationships, oftentimes, you know, here I am in front of this person I'm in relationship, and so my file for them is open, and something inadvertently opens my fear or my sadness or my grief or my rage. And if I'm not really conscious, it links into my brain's image of them. And I kind of combine them as though they're one thing. And, you know, that's part of the downward cycle. You know, that's how people go from this honeymoon, we're in love, we're just, oh, it's so wonderful, to the honeymoon is over. It's because of that file folder effect. And that's where it's so important to use the forgiveness tool, so that it's in the context of relationship that it becomes safe enough for those things to come up.
Yeah.
But if
they come up for me.
Yeah. And for him too.
For him too. Yeah. We recently committed to he agreed, and I've agreed. He asked me, and he invited me to go and see Rex with him, and we did.
Awesome.
It's been very good, and it's really awesome for me. It's definitely all of it in the mirror all at once, which is exciting. And our commitments have been to read my commitment to myself in the mirror every day, my commitment to each other or a photograph every day, and one wake-up sheet every day. And I cannot do just one wake-up sheet. It is one times at least two or three that I have simultaneous issues. Yes. And the external is showing up in full high definition quality.
Yep.
Tell me what I'm working with. Thanks, Dad.
It's designed to work. So remember to keep your heart open.
And so, yeah, just getting this. And
I don't think we're going to climb the tree today. Let's go
flies over here. How about that? You think we can find some butterflies over here?
Let's look. Come on. Let's go see.
I don't know where else you want to go. What was I sharing? What was I saying?
Well, you were talking about the opportunities that come, and that you've been working with Rex and doing or making a commitment to the commitment to self and to Tyler, and doing at least one worksheet, and that's turning into 3+.
Oh, yeah. I remember the insight I just got was, if I am stamping my foot, sort of metaphorically, inside, about somebody else's willingness.
You got it.
Yeah, got it. Yeah.
Smoke and mirrors.
Oopsie poopsie.
Yeah. Remember the codependence worksheet, where the trick is that you realize you're a master at giving advice when you have advice to someone else, because your advice to them is literally an advice to part of your own mind, and trying to get that advice close enough to you to realize it's about you. And so when you follow your own advice, miracles happen.
Oh, that's very helpful to see it publicly.
Yeah. So my invitation and exercise for you both would be to sit down, maybe print off the codependence worksheet from the website.
Oh.
And if you remember, you start out and you make a list of, you know, in the workshop, we have people make a list of everybody who's ever quote unquote offended them. But I could just make a list of every offense that Tyler's ever done to you, quote unquote. And
they're
same.
Yeah.
And
I bet he has more.
List of every time you've ever offended him. The nature of the offense. Your punishment thought. And then write your advice to him. And then if you remember the fifth column on that worksheet is that you now write how you're going to follow your advice to him in your life. And he writes how he's going to follow his advice to you in his life. And watch things just dissolve. Otherwise, the file folder effect takes over and we just lock in more trauma, more trauma, more trauma.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to hear that sweet little voice you've got with you to just keep the space of love.
Awesome. Yeah. It was awesome. I was listening, and I think it was Monday, and we had taken a trip. All three of them went to the chiropractor with me, and the two-year-old, he just turned two, he had just woke up from his nap to go in, and
right.
We're working on building the brain cells that love survives when we're told no.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a thing, the quote unquote terrible two thing, like, well, if I scream, then you have to change your mind and do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I just gently offer, you're safe. You're safe. I'm right here with you. Love survives when we're told no. And it's incredible to just witness the energy just go, oh yeah. Okay, I guess I'll go over here now and look for butterflies,
yeah.
You know?
Nice.
Well, what a gift in my heart to be able to show up like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thank you guys for everything.
Hey, one of the things you might do with the three of them is start asking the question, why are we here? And then what's the answer to that question? Are we meant to be loved? And do that with them often enough until they start to answer it. With, we're here to be loved. Oh, okay.
I will start now.
Yeah. Sweet. And, of course, you know, you've probably heard me talk again in the codependence workshop about, you know, having children is like having your unconscious mind hang out in true living color and Dolby sound. They bring it all out.
Yeah.
And having a lover is like having your unconscious mind hang out in true living color and Dolby sound. They're going to bring it all out.
Yeah.
And if you're responsible for it and you move through it, whoa, the honeymoon just goes on and expands. Or if you've already lost, you know, if you've already gotten to the phase of the honeymoon is over, you get to go back on your honeymoon if you do that.
Awesome.
So,
well.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
honored
you both.
And delighted.
And everybody. Yeah. Amazing. Well, I'll talk soon.
All right, young lady. Be blessed.
Oh, will do. Thank you. You too.
All right. Okay, take care. Holding the space.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
So the energy is, for me at least right now, is tangible, the shift of energy. Nice piece of work, Angie. And we're here to hold space for healing. And one of the things that empowers one to hold the space for healing is doing their own work. So, you know, I love Richard Bach's saying where he says, we teach best that which we most need to learn. And here we are learning it, teaching it, and practicing it. Well, Ms. Jeannie, we've got about 5 minutes left. So do we have anybody out there in the phone queue with a hand up or anybody in the chat room with a thought?
No, it's all quiet. And actually counting the outro, we've got about 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Well,
really quick question.
Okay.
No, I said it would be time only for a really, really quick question.
Well, do you have a really, really quick question?
No,
about
I
what
don't.
You really, really want?
Not really.
No. Well, then, sweetie, I'd like to make a commitment to you, and my commitment is I promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth and be true to you, to treat you lovingly, gently, and with respect in my thoughts, my words, and my actions, whether I'm in your presence or not. In every interaction, I will surrender to love, our true nature. And remember that our connection to Source and our relationship with each other, nurturing that relationship is more important than any issue. If anything less than love comes up, I'll hold this in my heart and listen as we each learn to speak, experience, and be responsible for our own realities. I open my being to embrace you in my love. I open to be embraced in your love. I'm here for and with you, keeping communication open and keeping love conscious, active, and present as we heal, celebrate life, and grow together.
I'll join you in that.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You are too. We did have a hand go up.
Let's go for it. It's going to be quick.
808, Roma, you're on the air.
Extremely delicious show today. Thank you so much.
Delighted. Thanks for the acknowledgement.
Yes.
You are appreciated.
Thank you. As we all are.
Awesome.
It was so delightful to hear that tiny little two-year-old baby's voice just participating in her healing. It just moved you so deeply.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It takes me back to the...
Follow that with your commitment.
Go ahead.
Was so, and then to follow that with your commitment was so beautiful. My goodness. Well, I'll
well,
certainly
joining you in receiving it.
Yeah, and I plan to communicate to Jeannie about participating with the Still Point and Mind Shifter.
Awesome.
I'll be there. Thank you for offering
that. All right.
Okay. Have a blessed day, everyone.
All
Aloha.
Right. You be blessed. Aloha. Everyone, lots of love and... create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. The world needs it. You deserve it, and you can source it.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. As we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness, we are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.